So let's review. The first Mishnah discusses one man with one wife. Sark the Mishnah. Mishalei Bichri Ishta B'yolda Shnei Zachar. Naisen Heislam L'Kain. If a woman delivering for the first time gave birth to twin boys, and we don't know which one was born first, the father gives 5 slum to the kain, because one of them is certainly the bechar. The Mishnah continues, Meis echem mehem b'teich shleishim yeim ha'av patur. If one of them died within 30 days, the father is exempt, because maybe it is the bechar that died, and the mitzvah may rebel b'raya. However, Meis ha'av abanim kayamim, if the father died before performing pinya ben, and the sons are both alive, Remeo emir im nasnu ad shleichalku nasnu v'mla patur. If they gave 5 slum to the kain before dividing the estate, the kain keeps the money. But once they divided the estate, neither one is obligated to give the 5 slum because each one might not be the bechar. However, Rabbi Huda Omer nischaibu nechasim. Even after they divided the estate, they're obligated to give the 5 slum together because the estate already became obligated. Now, the Gemara seeks to clarify the situation in this machlekes in the case of Mesa Av Abon Kayam. If the Mishnah is referring to the Mis Av La'achar La'meyem, the father died more than 30 days after their birth, Remei must agree with Rabbi Huda that afila la'achar shecholka chayavim, because ishtabdin lehu l'nichse, the estate already became obligated in the lifetime of the father. And if the Mishnah is referring to the mis b'teich la'meyem, the father died within 30 days of their birth, and we're discussing the son's obligation to redeem themselves, both Remei and Rabbi Huda must agree that kilei cholkonami leizel gabi haivelet chayiv, leizel gabi haivelet chayiv. Even if they did not yet divide the estate, they should not need to pay because each brother can claim that he's not the Bechar. Therefore, Rav explains that the Mishnah is indeed referring to where the Mis Av La'achar La'meyem. The father died after 30 days when he was already obligated in Pinya Ben. And so, if there's enough money in the estate, the sons would be obligated to pay the 5 slum because Ishtabin Lul Nechse. However, the Mishnah is discussing a case where Deleke El Chamash Slum, the entire estate consists of only 5 slum. And both Remei and Rabbi Huda agree with the following 3 halachas. Rav Asi rules, Ha'afen Shecholku, Mechtze Yershin, and Mechtze Lekuches. When brothers divide an estate, half the estate is treated as an inheritance, and the other half as a purchase, because we're unsure whether it is considered that they each inherited the half that they chose, or whether it is considered as if they each bought their half from the other. Novak Suba Bateira, Lavkik Suba Shtar Dami. An obligation placed on the person by the Torah, such as Pinya Ben, is comparable to a Mova Peh, an undocumented loan. And Rapapa rules Milva Alpa, Kuivimina Yershim, Veina Givmin Lakuchas. An undocumented loan can only be collected from inherited property, but not from purchased property. Thus, it follows that the Kohen can only collect half of the 5 slum, because Pinya Ben is considered an undocumented debt, and half of the estate is considered purchased property from which he cannot collect an undocumented debt. Therefore, the Gemara explains the Machlekes as follows. Remeir Savra La'achar Shecholku Peturin, because Chamesh V'lechatzi Chamesh. The Kohen cannot collect half of their obligation. It's either all or nothing. The kohen can collect half the obligation where he cannot collect the entire amount. However, the Gemara rejects this interpretation based on 2 questions, and therefore concludes that both Remei and Rabbi Huda agree to chamish v'lechatzi chamish. And the machlekes can be interpreted as follows. Because he agrees with both Rav Asi and Rav Papa that achash shechalku mechtzi yershin mechtzi lekuches. And Milva'al Peh Gevimina Yershin, Be'ini Gevimina Lakuches. Therefore, they're only obligated in half the Chamish Lam, and Chamish V'lechatzi Chamish. While Rabbi Huda Sav, V'lach Shecholku Chayavim, because either Rabbi Huda disagrees with Rav Asi, and holds Ha'achan Shecholku Yershin, and therefore they're obligated in the entire Chamish Lam, or Rabbi Huda disagrees with Rav Papa and holds Milva'al Peh Gevimina Yershin, Min Lakuches, and therefore they're obligated in the entire Chamish Lam. Mishnah concludes, Zachar Ben Akeva Enkan L'Kohen Klum. If the woman gave birth to a boy and a girl, we don't know which one emerged first, the kohen has no claim whatsoever, because the kohen must prove that the boy came first. We proceed with the next Mishnah, which discusses one man with 2 wives. Sak the Mishnah. If both wives each gave birth to a firstborn son, the father gives the kohen 10 slum, even if he does not know which son is from which mother, because they're both certainly bechar. However, if one of the sons died within 30 days, if he really gave the entire amount to one kain, the kain must return 5 slum, because we now know that he was only obligated for the surviving son. However, if he gave 5 slum to each to 2 separate kahanim, he cannot demand from either one to return the 5 slum, because each one can claim that he redeemed the surviving son. The Mishnah continues, Zachar ben Akeva, or Shnei Zachar ben Akeva, Nesin Chamesh Slum L'Kain. If the 2 wives, one had a son and the other a daughter, or if one had a boy and the other a boy and a girl, for a total of 2 boys and 1 girl, the father gives 5 slum to the kain because there is only one certain bechar. However, shteinu keves v'zachar, or shnei zachar v'shteinu keves, in kan l'kohen klum. If one had a girl and the other a boy and a girl, or if they both each had a boy and a girl, the kohen has no claim, because we cannot be certain that either woman gave birth to a boy for us. The Mishnah continues, achas bichur v'achas shlei bichur v'yaldu shnei zachar, neisun chamish shlam l'kohen. If one wife had given birth previously, and the other had not, and they each had a boy, he gives five shlam to the kohen, because there certainly is one bichur. If one of them died before 30 days, the father is exempt because it's possible that the bechor died. However, if the father died before performing penya ben, and the sons are both alive, because he might not be the bechor. The state already became obligated, and so together they must pay five slum. However, if one was a boy and the other a girl, the boy does not owe the kohen anything because the girl might have been the daughter of the wife who gave birth for the first time, and neither child is a bechor. The Mishnah now discusses a third type of case. Two women married to two men. If each woman had a boy, each father gives five shlam to the kohen because each father certainly has a son, a bechor. If they both gave to the same kind, they must return five shlam, as the Gemara explains. This is only if one father wrote for the other a document of power of attorney, granting him the right to collect on his behalf. However, if they each gave to two separate kahanim, they cannot demand from either one to return the money. However, if one child was a boy and the other a girl, the fathers are exempt because we do not know which one had the boy. But the boy must redeem himself because he's certainly a bechor. Mishnah continues. Shteinu keves v'zachar, or shteinu keves v'shnei zachar, ein kan l'kohen klum. The kohen has no claim because it's possible that neither boy is a bechor. However, achas bechorah, v'achas shalei bechorah, shal shnei anoshim, v'yoldu shnei zachar. If two wives of two husbands gave birth to two boys, and one of them had given birth previously, zeh shalei bechor ishtai, neisun chamish shlam l'kohen. The one whose wife gave birth for the first time is obligated to give five shlam to the kohen because her son is certainly a bechor. However, the Mishnah concludes, zachar nekeva, ein kan l'kohen klum. If they gave birth to a boy and a girl, the boy does not need to redeem himself because he might not be a bechor at all.